RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints Head Coach Kellen Moore. I'm Mike Haas, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And Coach Kellen Moore, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, this has been fun. An unblemished and undefeated December for only the third time in franchise history. Victory over Tennessee, fourth straight win. Season high, 29 points in week 16. Season high, 34 points in week 17. Just talk about the victory and what four straight means to this franchise.
Yeah, I think obviously it's a really good opportunity for us to finish the right way. And so our guys have continued to compete each and every week, and really, really proud of those guys. Obviously, I felt like this game was a game of resiliency. It was not the start that we need throughout the first half. Outside of, you know, Chase obviously made a big time play to create the touchdown, but obviously didn't start the right way, and then responded just really, really well in the second half, and it really took all three phases. Playing really good football.
You know, Coach Moore, I said I'm not going to ask him again about the first quarter, but I guess I am. And the reason why I'm going to ask you, I think I got it figured out. I was going to say this could be in the off season and all that, but look, after being outscored 6-0 in the first quarter, we're not now outscored 115-29 opening quarter. You know what we need to do better? I'm telling you, we'd win in the first quarter, and I know you know this and you'll work on it. We got to run the ball better. I think from the get-go, yep. You know, we've had injuries in running backs. If we can run the ball better in the first quarter, I think that's the magical formula. I don't know. We might only be winning 3-0, whatever it might be. We won't be chasing points. And along those lines, you know what we finally did? We finally flipped the script. I was so ecstatic with this because I said throughout the year, we need to do this. We were giving up like 4.1 yards a run for the season. We were getting 3.6. But in the game, props go out to the O-line and all, everyone involved, estimate. We averaged 4.9 and we held them, 4.5, I should say, we held them to 3.9. So I wrote in my notes, I'm doing the post game. I go, oh, we finally flipped the script. That was awesome. That means you dictate in the ebb and flow of a game. I think truly when you look at the average, and it helps you as a play caller whenever you're averaging 4-plus yards a run.
Yeah, no question. I think the first half we did not run the football well enough. It put us in a lot of second and longs and get back on track situations. And, it's a challenge for us just to create some rhythm and momentum there. And so the second half, I thought, really the first play, second half, really efficient run. And that kind of propelled us into just being able to play more mixed down football, able to run the football, create play action off of it. And there's much more of that ebb and flow that you need in the second half.
Oh, Coach, you know what I've been proud of, and this is not an opinion. You got to give the whole defensive staff, defensive coaches, players, is that how after halftime we brought it. And you got to fight, and you might have adversity for four quarters, and this is not an opinion because this actually has happened. You look at this season, you look at, we're number one in second half opponent points per game. So scoring defense. We're number one, and then you look fewest points allowed in the fourth quarter, we're number one. And this is the likes of like, oh, everyone talks about the Texans' defense. Oh, well, what about the Broncos' defense? Look, fewest points allowed in the fourth quarter, we're only giving up 3.3. And then I'm looking at like the Texans and Denver, they're giving up. When you look at, okay, they're giving up 4.3. And then you look second half points allowed, we're number one, only giving up 7 points. In the second half, the whole second half, and like Denver's giving up 4.3. So all I know, you do that, and teams can't score. All of a sudden, that's why I think you have the kind of victory you had against Tennessee. Even though, they had 20 points at half, they didn't do anything second half. And we've done that throughout the season. Our scoring defense, again, number one in the National Football League in the fourth quarter and second half.
Yeah, I think our defense did a really nice job of responding the right way in the second half. I thought, controlled the run game better. Did a really good job there, and then allowed us to, get ourselves into some passing situations that allowed our rush to get after the quarterback. And so, I think credit to our guys responding the right way, finishing the right way. Again, we'll continue to try and get better in the first half of that thing. But I thought there's a lot of positives the way we finished.
Coach, such an impactful play in that first half. Bobby talked about chasing points, and a month after you arrived, you signed Chase Young to a 3-year contract, and it's 13-3, under 4 minutes to play, almost halftime. They've got the football. They put points on the board. I mean, who knows? I mean, it becomes a really lopsided game, but his sack, forced fumble, fumble recovery, touchdown, all in one play, made it 13-10. I mean, it's, the number of things that he can do, and quite frankly, a lot of things don't show up in the stat book for him. He's just a disruptor. I guess really two questions about him overall, but also that play and the impact that it had in the second quarter.
Well, certainly we needed something to go our way in that first half, and so that was just an incredible play by Chase. Grando with the rush as well, creating the opportunity for Chase. Chase finishing. I thought credit to the rest of our defensive guys of getting out in front to, give ourselves the touchdown opportunity, get ahead and make some blocks. It was a big-time play. It certainly sparked us, gave us an opportunity to get back into that thing. And, Chase, I've loved how Chase has played this year. He's continued to grow. He's going to continue to get better each and every week. But, again, I think his energy is very contagious to our football team, which is a very positive thing. And, obviously, he's made some big-time plays when we've needed it.
Now, Coach Moore, on that play, boy, you showed a lot of emotion. I saw you put up your two hands up, like touchdown. We taking it to the house. Was that how you express yourself? Because it seemed like you were pretty excited that, boy, whenever you get that kind of touchdown, you know what I said during the game, and you know this, that you should never, if your team's heading in the right direction, to me, if you have a scoop and score, pick six, run back a punt for a touchdown or a kick return, you got to win those games. Would you tend to agree with that? Because that's kind of out of the norm if you're able to do that and how you could flip the momentum. And so I think the team would agree with that. If we could take advantage of those kind of opportunities, shame on us if we don't win those kind of games.
Yeah, I think special teams, defense, when you can create points in both of those categories, big-time opportunities allow us to make some big-time plays. And so, that was a play that we needed. We weren't playing to our standard in that first half, and so I thought it brought a lot of juice, a lot of energy. I think our team got a lot of confidence from it, and it obviously allowed us to stay in it, and then the second half take off.
Need to take our first break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas along with Saints quarterback Bobby Hebert and, of course, Saints head coach Kellen Moore back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Oss, Bobby Hebert, and Saints head coach Kellen Moore. I can't believe we made it through the entire first segment. Didn't talk about Tyler Shuck, but hey, I think your defense earned a lot of that first segment discussion. Tyler Shuck, 333 yards. I want you to take your head coach's hat off for just a second and put your quarterback hat on and talk about that third quarter slot fade to Olave, back-to-back week, 19-yard touchdown, and then the back shoulder to Kevin Austin. Just those two throws, it just shows you, the comfortability of where Tyler is in the pocket.
Yeah, I think it's comfort and trust. And, Chris, awesome job. Kind of, there's some similarities to his touchdown last week. I thought the trust factor of letting the play progress itself, read it out. Great job creating the opportunity by CO. And then, the next one, thrown to Kevin, I think that's just the ultimate trust, a guy that has the ability to win. The leverage wasn't perfect. The guy's kind of playing out that leverage and he crosses the guy's face, and he trusts the throw and, lets it rip. And so, big time plays, both create big time touchdown opportunities for us.
Coach Moore, when I look at this, and looking at Tyler Shuck, the confidence, he's not playing like a rookie, obviously, how fast he's maturing. The first Saints quarterback since the first ballot Hall of Famer, which will come about with Drew Brees, to pass for more than 300 yards and complete more than 80% of his passes in a game. Now, I threw for over 300 yards for a game. You probably did. But when you talk about 80%, the ball's not hitting the ground. That's impressive. And then it seemed like it didn't affect him. Like, come on, you want to make all the plays and then, like, panic, so to speak. You might have panicked a little bit, but you don't want the players to see. When Dante Pettis fumbled the 32-yard completion and they recover in the end zone for a touchback, normally if your team said, okay, that's adversity, we got to be able to bounce back. Because a lot of times when, stuff like that happens, that's why we lost. But so how were you feeling at that time? You had to be like, just felt like you got punched in the gut, right? Because you don't want that to happen too often.
Yeah, I think it shows the character of our football team. It's obviously a challenging situation. You have a chance there to score, take the lead and all that good stuff. And then, for it not to happen, for the fumble and then us not to be able to recover it, they recover it. I thought credit to, again, just complimentary football as far as, being able to respond in a sudden change. Our defense, forces them to punt, gets us the ball back on offense, and then offense obviously responds in a really special way and gets the touchdown, and then we take it back from there. And so, again, I think it's credit to our guys. Is there frustration in those type of plays? Absolutely. But our guys responded the right way and, took advantage of the opportunity, moving forward.
Now, Coach Moore, when I look at you could see like a veteran like DeMario Davis he's dealing with an injury. Whenever I see, like, calf, I'm thinking Achilles and all that, but I'm just not going to speculate. But, look, 36 years of age, a new career high in tackle. He's now up to, 137 on the year. But you know what I like? Is that all of a sudden Stutzman's in the game. He ain't overwhelmed. Stutzman, to me, looks like a stud. And I know DeMario Davis would support him. He comes in the game, six tackles, and he don't look out of place. He looks very confident. So I think you would agree with that, that DeMario Davis, you have to have a good mix of young players and seasoned veterans. You look at Cam Jordan, he's only half a sack away from 10 sacks. He's constantly getting sacks. You look at Chase Young, missed five games. He's at 8.5. Now, the one thing I brought up, maybe you could tell me if I'm out of line on this. What do you think as a defense, how many sacks do you actually need? I remember just do my little homework in past years. We had around 40, low 40s. But if you could be high 40s or low 50s, we still have a game to play. But to me, then you're always amongst the best as far as not just quarterback pressures or hits, but actually getting sacks. And as of late, we have 12 sacks in two games. We're getting kind of hot at the right time. But just talk about, the influence of, a Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, and a guy like Stutzman, who's when he's called upon, he's ready to contribute. I got to play now? No, I thought that DeMario Davis is such that you could see both those cats can get it.
Yeah, I think you start with the linebacker group, and you know DeMario is just an incredible player, incredible person. He's a Pro Bowl player, whether he gets into it or not. I don't care. He's a Pro Bowl player. He's been doing this year in and year out. To have his career high in tackles in this year speaks volumes to just the way he is. I love the ability that we have with DeMario, Pete, Danny. We have three guys there who have obviously contributed in some really positive ways. All three of them are really, really good players, and they're playing really consistent football. And then, you know, as far as rushing the passer, I think, obviously, there's statistics around that. I think the most important thing is that we can influence the quarterback and create pressure on the quarterback, in those obvious pass situations. I think you see that group just get better week in and week out, and you can see the coverage and the rush playing together complementary-wise. You know, I think we're doing a good job on the back end, which is allowing our guys to continue to rush the quarterback. And hey, when you play Cam Ward, we know this, we know he's going to be a really good quarterback in this league. He's going to make some special plays. He's going to extend some plays. We saw that certainly yesterday with the way he played. And so you're going to have to keep battling, keep going. And so, just credit to our guys with the relentless effort.
Need to take another break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, Mike Haas, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, and moving on to next week briefly, if we will. Brought to you by John Fayard, Moving and Warehousing, First in Service. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas and Saints head coach Kellen Moore. And coach, Atlanta plays the Rams tonight. There's seeding implications. Unbelievably, there's NFC South implications. We don't have time to unpack all that. But if you beat Atlanta next week, you don't have your first goal that you set back in the preseason, which is, hey, win the division. But if Carolina loses next week and you win, you'll be 4-2 in the division. You'll have the best record of the NFC South teams in the division, and that's got to be pretty significant in your first year.
Yeah, I think this is a big time opportunity for us just to finish the right way. It's a division game, Atlanta. We know all the aspects of that. These guys played better than us the first time around, and so we have one more opportunity. And so we want to finish the right way. I love the way our guys are competing all the way to the end. There's a lot of momentum that can be carried from the way we finish the season into the off season and into next season. And so we hope to do that.
Now, Coach Moore, going back to contributions in the game against the Titans. You can say next man up, but who in the hell's the next man? And, you got a lot of responsibility. You want to be a pro last in the NFL, then you got to make plays. I'm looking at Dante Pettis, 172 total yards. You had 97 yards in kick return. He had a long gain of 32. A nice punt return of 17 yards. That's almost like two first downs. 53 yards receiving. And then you throw in there Kevin Austin. And then you look at Estime, what he did as a running back. 7 of his 12 second-half carries gained at least 6 yards. And then the big run, the longest run by a Saints running back, 32-yard touchdown run. So that's all examples of guys just taking advantage of opportunity and just waiting for their turn and making the best of it.
No question. Really proud of those guys. I think that's a great thing that we've been able to discover through this season is some guys stepping up, taking advantage of opportunities. Dante made some big-time plays. The catch on the second long on the sideline, Tyler trusts him. Kevin, to respond the way he did. He had an early penalty and then just responded, had that big-time catch down the field. And like you said, Estime, I think in the second half, he was really a spark player. His ability to run the football in a physical manner, get some first downs, and obviously the touchdown was just simply an incredible play.
Now, Coach Moore, when you look at Atlanta, and have you bought into, I think you have now, it's a division game, but what would be in your past like the biggest rival, whether it be in college or the NFL? I guess you could say Dallas and Washington when you were there. But what would be like the equivalent? Because you know what fans tell me, even when I remember before when I first got here, this is going way back. It goes, well, I don't know what the team's going to do, but you got to beat Atlanta. And they would always say that. So I'll tell you, getting some momentum going into the offseason, this is like a bowl game or whatever. We got to beat Atlanta and Atlanta. And like Haas is saying, look, best record, the NFC South, that goes a long way. But it's just something. I know we want to beat Tampa Bay and Carolina, but you know what they say? Bobby, you got to tell Coach Moore, don't let Atlanta can't sweep us. So, you know, so I'm just giving you that message.
Yes, this is a big, hey, this is a big time game for us, and I think we all view it that way. Is we've won some games down the stretch. We're really excited about that, but this is an opportunity to finish the right way. And so these guys played better than us the first time around. You get one more opportunity to compete against them, and obviously we know the importance of this this game. You know, it's been close every single year, and so we got to do a better job this time around.
Coach, I was wondering how much you knew about Audric Estime when you guys picked him up in October after Philly released him. So Denver drafts him in 24, scores, you know, touchdowns, just like Vele. He had three TDs in 24. Estime had a couple of touchdowns in 24. But you're not just getting a guy. You're getting a guy who's already played in this league. So Denver releases him, and then Philly releases him in October. So do you talk to Philly, because they released him? You can talk to him like, hey, what kind of guy are we getting, or what kind of guy could we be getting in Audric Estime?
Yeah, I think you go back to he was drafted in the fifth round, 2024. We all went through that draft process, and we all liked him. You know, some of us were at different places at the time a year ago. We really were big fans of his. And so obviously the exposure to Denver and Philly, two organizations that obviously our organization in different manners have a lot of relationships with. So those are all very valuable, you know, for you to get feedback on that. And so we were really excited to get him in the middle of the season. Felt like it was going to be a valuable opportunity for him and for us. And the way it's played out, obviously he's earning these opportunities down the stretch, and he's certainly taking advantage of them.
You know, Coach Moore, when I look at, okay, how you fortunate, and you know, you got to have depth on the offensive line. And I look, okay, Eric McCoy, I'll view him as our best offensive lineman. I think could start for every team, whether it's center, guard, center, whatever. But just comment, I think Luke Fortner's did an outstanding job. You know, 4-year veteran out of Kentucky, came over from Jacksonville in the trade. Boy, I just think that whoever found him, I think that was outstanding considering what he's done. And taking over from McCoy being injured.
Yeah, I think Luke has just had a really, really good year and had a really positive impact on our team. And so A-plus person, A-plus leader. He's very prepared, does an excellent job with that entire offensive line and Tyler, you know, working together. And so he's had a really positive influence on us. I think he's taken advantage of this opportunity. He was a guy that, you know, obviously got drafted, has had plenty of starts and experience in this league. So we felt really, really fortunate to have an opportunity to make the trade for him. And so we felt like we were bringing some depth to our offensive line. And obviously it ended up being very, very valuable once we were unfortunately lost Eric and had to navigate some of this.
Coach, there were so many kind of careers, you know, yesterday. Juwan Johnson, so he had 95 yards, a career high. He only had 4 receptions. And the 95 becomes impressive when his first reception was just for 3 yards. So 92 on 3, and they were impactful catches across the middle, big first downs, big chunks. I mean, he's just found a way to make those kind of impactful plays.
Yeah, he's just continued to grow each and every game this year. I thought, you know, where he was at the beginning of the year versus where he is now, I thought he's taken a lot of really positive steps. And I think the cool thing of that was the yards after contact and yards after catch, excuse me. He's catching it, he's securing the football, and then he's making, you know, these extra yards, and all those don't go unnoticed.
Well, Coach, you figured out the perfect way to end 2025, a perfect December, so now there's only one great way to start 26, and that's a victory over the Falcons.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. Appreciate it.
We always will. Thank you. Head coach Kellen Moore for the New Orleans Saints. Saints in Atlanta. They finally decided Sunday at noon, 1 o'clock, if you are traveling to Atlanta, and I suggest you do because it'll be plenty of seats and love to see the black and gold. Great crowd, by the way, yesterday in Nashville with the Saints Houdats. So congrats to them and thanks for coming. So let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And when we come back on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, we will bring in Kyle Wilbur, the assistant special teams coach. He works with Phil Galliano and really just not in the NFL not too long ago with Dallas, Oakland, and the Las Vegas Raiders for 10 years. So we'll talk to Kyle Wilbur about the special teams aspect when we come back on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Austin, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and we are joined now by the assistant special teams coach, Kyle Wilbur, in his first year with the Saints. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing well. Just kind of curious as to, you played in the NFL for 10 years, 6 years with Dallas, then with Oakland and Las Vegas, a few years in Green Bay before coming here. Was your connection to kind of come here, at least to the Saints, you played with Kellen? I mean, Kellen was a quarterback in 2015 in Dallas, and you played with him. Or did you kind of know Phil at all from previous jobs, or was Kellen maybe your first connection here?
Honestly, Phil asked me to interview, and I interviewed, and I told him I understand that there's a connection between me and Kellen, and if there was any say of like, hey, you need to hire this guy, I told him, hey, Phil, just hire the man you want. And he said, honestly, I haven't even talked to Kellen about you. I've heard about some of our players because I played with Foster. I played with Zach Wood when he was in Dallas, and other coaches around the league. That you're a good guy, like you. You're on top of your stuff. And I wanted to have a connection and talk to you personally myself before I even talked to Kellen about you.
Now, Kyle, looking at obviously a fan favorite, no longer with the team, really splash chunk plays with Sheet Shaheed in the return game. What can you tell the fans, though, about Dante Pettis? Here's a 7-year veteran, and you look at his contribution. Obviously, he just has to be himself. But looking at yesterday, pretty damn good. You look in the punt and the kick return game, he had a long gain of 17 yards of the punt return. A 32-yard kickoff return, and then he's contributing as a receiver, a 53-yard receiver. To me, that's an NFL veteran. He gets an opportunity. Yes. He's on the practice squad. Now you're active and a lot of responsibility, especially taking the place of Houdat Nation, who we're very familiar with, Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah. I think DP, I call him the Wizard, he's reliable, like, he is the most reliable person back there, without a doubt. He's sure-handed on punt catching. Big thing me and him have talked about is, don't chase any big plays. They're going to come to you. And when they come to you, just make it happen, you know. We always talk about all the time how, as a receiver, catch the ball in the middle of the field, drop stick, and split two. So if it's there, split two, run somebody over. If it's not there, you know, we trust you to make the right decisions. That's why you're back there, and he does.
Now, Kyle, looking at the coverage units, and I've always been intrigued with this, with you and Coach Galliano, because, you have a limited roster, who's going to be active, and then who makes the final roster. Just talk to the fans how important that is, because it seemed like on every team there's always like a handful of guys. And what I mean by that, you could see how they're producing. Whether it's the Chris Rumps of the world, the Danny Stutzman, the Isaac Yadams, Isaiah Stallberg, Jalen Ford. Just talk a little bit about that and how important that, special teams, that is a high priority, and you don't want to be that weak link, you know, offense, defense, special teams. But those coverage units and the numbers that they've put up have been pretty reliable.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of turnover from last year. I remember, obviously, I was in Green Bay, and I remember writing up all those guys that they were here. And but with turnover comes opportunity, and I think a lot of those young guys like Danny Stutzman, Isaiah Thalberg, Jalen Ford, Chris Rump, Ike, you know, a new addition that we had is Mike Davis as a veteran. These guys have come in and stepped up, and then you can tell that it actually special teams matters to them. They've, you know, we kind of started a little bit slow, but as we see throughout the season, we're finishing. It's a big pat on their back to, you know, the value that it means to them. They have set a standard for themselves to play high and make a contribution to this team, and I just commend the men that you know, in the room.
Talking with Saints assistant special teams coach Kyle Wilbur, and I cannot imagine any team that would face back-to-back three-win teams that have the special teams that the Jets and the Titans do. Isaiah Williams, couple of touchdown punt returns, one call back. Jim DK, couple of punt returns, one call back, and 70 yards plus, both on kickoff returns. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable when you think about it, but kind of the plan and how to kick, not kick, punt, not punt, when you yesterday with DK, and what kind of the thought process was going in?
Thought process was, you know, we have Charlie, which he's been doing phenomenal. I know Phil has talked to him on the side and said, listen, we're going to try to keep the ball away from him. We're going to put it on the ground. But even if it's not on the ground, this is not a challenge for us. This is an opportunity to show who we are as a football team to go against some of these premier returners. And so the guys, like I said, Terrell Burgess, Ike, Mike, Isaiah, they all been stepped up, and it took this as an opportunity to show themselves and establish their identity.
But Kyle, along those lines, you can't be shanking a 17-yard punt. I mean, I know you got to play smart, and you want to get your distance out of bounds. So, and I've had a problem with that. You look at the net punt. We very seldom. I don't look at the gross. I look at the net, and obviously look at that Seahawks game, the big punt return they had there. But I know y'all addressed this in the meetings. That's not good. 29.7 net, and you have it. That's mainly you have that 17-yard punt. Not that Tennessee was much better, 36.3. But even on the season, we ride at 38 yards, our opponents at 42. So I know you and Coach Galliano, y'all definitely look at that net. And you can have windy conditions and all that. But if you're a pro NFL punter, and he is a young punter, that being Kai Kroger, you know, rookie out of South Carolina. But you can't be shanking points because all of a sudden the field position, they don't have to move the ball and be losing 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, obviously nobody wants to shake and punt. And, you know, he knows. That's the great thing about him is, again, he has a standard for himself. And there's some disappointment, but at the end of the day, it's my job to instill confidence in him. And, you know, I'm trying to empower. True leadership is empowering, and I want him to be able to coach himself. So again, he knows that that's not acceptable. That's not up to his standard. So there's really nothing for us to be said there because he already knows. Like, nobody's going to go into the game and saying, "Hey, I want you to kick this ball 17 yards and kicked out of bounds." But you know, we go back to the Seattle game. Obviously, you know, we started slow, and but again, I think the men in the room they face adversity, and I think they came out on the side that's better for them. You know, sometimes losing is a more valuable lesson than success is. So
now, Kyle, when I look at like the whole roster, and you look at the practice squad and everything, I talk to offensive and defensive coaches, and then you know you give different looks. You know, whether you call in scout team, okay, we're walking on punt return, who's going down on kickoff coverage or vice versa, whatever. How do you work with you and Coach Galliano with the guys that aren't necessarily going to be in the game but on the practice squad and to give a good look? And give an example maybe who might be some players. I'm just looking at like a cornerback like Jayden Price or Beanham or just different individual. Diggs, here's a draft pick from Syracuse, seventh rounder. Just talk about maybe that is no easing up in practice because you want to give a good look for your special teams unit, even though if you're part of that scout team, and how much coaching y'all do with that.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing, I love Phil. He's awesome with it, and he does the punt team, and I do the look punt rush team. And for me, I tell the players it's me versus Phil right now. So when you're on the look punt rush team, it's you versus them. All right, I want you guys to embarrass them because these are guys that we're putting out there in the game, and I want you to give everything you got because at the end of the day, we're putting you guys in positions. So when you do come up, these are the positions you will play in the game. So they take that as a challenge. They take it as an opportunity, again, to show who they are and do a heck of a job at it. Fidel, he's a heck of a guy in the A-gap rushing over Zach Wood. JP, again, he's great. This kid can be a punt returner. He can be a jammer. He can be a gunner. He can be an established rusher. He's just amazing with it. Ronnie Bell as well. He's fast off the line. He can be a punt returner as well. It's just all these guys have so many attributes and potential to be some good things coming up in this league.
Coach, wanted to ask you that about Charlie Smith, and my assumption is you're impressed. And we all knew about the leg, right? He's got a big leg. Okay, we knew that. The 48-yard miss at Tampa on his first kick, but he came back and made it at Tampa. And then the 43-yard miss yesterday, I think, comes back and makes a 56 and a 57-yarder. So, to me, it's impressive for such a young guy, you know, playing in the NFL, so new, to be able to put the misses behind him, right? You know, it doesn't impact him long-term, and that's been pretty impressive.
Yeah. Him and Phil have this great connection, and again, I think Phil is one of the best. He's he just knows again how to instill his confidence in these players and these guys. Definitely in Charlie, he's been with him a lot longer than I have. And Charlie, he doesn't get in his head. You know, he understands this is an incredible opportunity, and he takes anything and everything. It's like it's an honor for him to be out there and just to practice. We had a conversation the other day that He would just love to be on the practice squad, if not anything else. You know? So for him to have an actual opportunity to kick in the game, it's like a dream come true to him. So the way he approaches the game and the way he just approaches every single day is just incredible to me. I love how he just responds to anything and everything.
Now, Kyle, this is the last one before we let you run. This is more looking at your background. How did you end up at, like, Wake Forest? Boy, and I look at – I've always been intrigued with, like, Tobacco Road because all of a sudden, like, from New Orleans to Mandeville, you got a 30-mile radius around there. You look how close Duke is, Durham to Chapel Hill. Then you got Wake Forest and Winston-Salem. You got North Carolina State and Raleigh. How you end up at – and I guess hotbed, you know, you always think kind of Tobacco Road basketball, but – you look at the football programs. I'm old enough, you know, with Lawrence Taylor in North Carolina. How you end up at Wake Forest?
I originally tried to commit to Kentucky, and they ended up pulling my scholarship and giving it to somebody else, a four-star recruit. And I kind of had this thought process, well, I'm not going to go to the NFL, so I might as well get an education. And so that's how I actually ended up at Wake Forest. I thought my degree would go a lot longer way than any of the other schools that I had.
Well, it didn't work out that way. 6 years with the Dallas Cowboys, 4 years with Oakland and Las Vegas, and then Green Bay, and now with the Saints, and hopefully it's a long-term situation. Really appreciate your time. Congrats on the four straight, and make it five.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you, Coach Kyle Wilbur, Assistant Special Teams. And now we must say goodbye to the Cajun Cannon, Bobby. As always, thank you, my friend.
All right, Hoss, we got to plug the Dirty Birds.
You bet. You betcha. Take a break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Dettelier on the other side, the NFC South crazy Monday night, and all the things that are still have to be decided with Week 18 here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Austin now as we go back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. Mike Dettelier, NFL college analyst, joins us. And before we get to Week 18, because we got both number one seeds, four division titles up for grabs, unbelievably, Week 17 still has a game. And that's Atlanta hosting the Rams. The Rams cannot win the number one seed anymore after last night. They can be the fifth or the sixth seed. So the Rams still playing for something. And the Falcons at 6-9 can still impact the NFC South. Now, I don't think they can, because that would mean they'd have to beat the Saints. And I don't think that's going to happen. I wish I had a really question here for the Rams and Falcons. I don't know what it is, but it's just this weird kind of game with the Rams and the Falcons. And the Rams are playing for something, and kind of the Falcons are.
Mike, I don't know what the Falcons are playing for, and I don't know what type of mindset they have to finish this season out. It's not like they can go to the playoffs. And you never know how you catch a team, late in the year like this. I do know one thing. Bijan Robinson, okay, he's not on a winning team, but he wins at running back and as a receiver. Drake London, okay, when he plays, he wins. And you look at Kirk Cousins, Kirk has always had really good games against the Saints, hasn't he? Yep. It doesn't matter if he's been with Washington, if he's been with Minnesota, he's been with Atlanta. He has had really good games against the Saints. And so it's sort of an odd game. You sort of have a strong feeling now as the word is leaking out more and more in Atlanta. Arthur Blank's patience is basically done. That, you know, Raheem Morris is in a lot of trouble there. And, you know, and the word yesterday from Jay Glazer is that they're thinking of bringing in Matt Ryan in some kind of front office capacity, similar to what John Lynch, you know, John was doing TV for Fox. He was working with Dick Stockton, Jen Hale, and, you know, he was doing the color analyst stuff like Deuce does for the Saints Radio Network. And then all of a sudden, he becomes the general manager. And it looks as though that's where they're moving with this with Matt Ryan. A lot of moving parts here. And I think for the owner, his patience has run out.
Well, we'll take the Falcons out of it for this conversation just because it's in the Rams. So the Saturday game, Carolina and Tampa is basically winner take all. Now, it might not be, but for the sake of this conversation, winner take all. Tampa's lost 7 of 8, 4 straight. And you got to, you got to believe that Todd Bowles doesn't win this game and they don't win the division, that he's in trouble.
I think even if he won it, he's in trouble.
I know, but it's just got to be hard, right? Because you know.
Man, the one thing with the Glazer family, they've shown that patience run real thin in that organization. Arthur Blank got a lot of patience compared to the Glazers. But in this spot here, hasn't Carolina been win one, lose one? Win one, lose one. Win one, and then what happened yesterday? They played competitive for 2.5 quarters with Seattle. And then Seattle caught them, and Bryce made the big mistake with the interception. Right now, Tampa is the real story of how this team has sort of unraveled, and they don't have any confidence in anything they do. Mike, we've done this for a long time. Between the ears and how much, you know, you lose that little part there that they had earlier in the year. Oh, Baker Mayfield, give them the ball with 1.5 minutes left. They win. They win. They win. They win games they should have lost. And now all of a sudden, you lose a couple and everybody's sort of pointing the fingers. That a little confrontation on the sidelines between a few guys yesterday, kind of pointing fingers at one another. No, I give the Panthers a real shot here. Because their MO has been one good game, one bad. Okay, they played the bad game against a really good team in Seattle. Now, Seattle, they got some talent there. They'll go as far as Sam Darnold takes them. and we'll figure that out. But right now, I would say to me, Carolina, they've got everything in their favor playing a team that has lost it from a confidence standpoint. You might say Tampa's better talent-wise. Okay, that might be true. But if you don't have no confidence in what you're doing, guess what? Doesn't do you a damn bit of good. Right. At this stage. But it's a great matchup. Boy, the NFL, really, could they ask for anything better?
Oh, my goodness.
That this is set up. And just like I think maybe they didn't realize what was going to happen, Saints-Atlanta, they knew one of these two games, Mike, was really going to play a part in who would win the NFC South.
And so here we are, week 18. We don't have a number one seed in either conference. You got four division titles up for grab. I mean, there's so many storylines, Baltimore at Pittsburgh, Seattle at San Francisco, Denver against the Chargers. And but wildly, my question is, at this juncture, if you polled 10 people that like yourself who knew the game and said, tell me who's going to be in the Super Bowl, you might get seven or eight different answers. There's not that one. We might have said the Rams a while back, and everybody, the records say the Patriots, but are they really that good? You know what I mean? I don't know that we'd get any consensus on who's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because I think most people, probably the majority would be Rams because of Matt Stafford.
Right.
Okay, because do you trust that Sam Darnold can get you there? Because, okay, that's the big question to be answered. Whoever wins the NFC South, okay, you got that part. The way the Eagles are playing, God bless their defense, has bailed them out game after game after game because their offense has been El Stinko for weeks. Mike, it's a crazy season, but this is why it is the number one sport in America to watch because it is – kind of prime time, and it is one of these deals that from week to week, you really don't know.
You betcha. We don't know. It's going to be a great weekend. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. The Saints have made it four straight, trying to make it five straight to begin 2026. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. We'll look for you next week after a victory in Atlanta.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.